Welcome to installment 54 of Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam. Today's portion contains three commandments continuing with the laws of Passover. Positive commandment 156, to remove chametz, leaven from our possession. Prohibition 197, not to eat chametz during the holiday of Pesach. And prohibition 198, a separate prohibition, not even to eat a substance which has a mixture of chametz in it. As we discussed in yesterday's portion, Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, there was also a certain holiday status, in that the Paschal sacrifice was offered then. We also have a separate prohibition not to eat chametz on the day before Pesach. We have the additional positive commandment 156, to destroy or remove any chametz from our possession. As the Chumash says, "Bayem arishon tashpisu se'er mibateichem." On the first day you shall remove or destroy any chametz from your house. Our sages in the oral tradition have explained that this Bayem Arishon, the first day, which is referred to here, is actually referring up to the day before Pesach. As the Rambam brings a hint to this in the verse of the Chumash that one should not slaughter the Paschal sacrifice when chametz is still in existence. In other words, not only one should not eat chametz during the time of the Passover sacrifice in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, but in addition, one should not even own chametz during that time. The Rambam quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi in Tractate Sanhedrin, which says that a person who owns chametz on Passover is violating two laws. First of all, a positive commandment, then a prohibition. The positive commandment, which is being violated, is the requirement to destroy or to remove all chametz from one's possession. And that is this positive commandment we're discussing today. The prohibition involved is the prohibition against owning chametz, which we will discuss, God willing, in tomorrow's portion. The act of removing or destroying the chametz is termed by our sages as biur chametz, the destruction of the chametz. And although the Rambam here in Sefer HaMitzvot seems to indicate that it is achieved by a physical destruction, we find somewhat of a contradiction in his legal code and a number of different versions about what exactly the Rambam said in his legal code. And without getting too complicated, we should generally explain that there are two ways in which one can prevent a violation of this biblical commandment. One way is through bittul chametz. One annuls and renounces any possession of the chametz. That since the prohibition here is to own chametz which belongs to you, one can therefore remove it, so to speak, from one's possession by renouncing any ownership of it. This is known as bittul, nullifying the chametz. And this is the statement which is said twice, one on the night of the searching for the chametz, the night before Pesach, and then again in the morning when one burns the chametz. However, this is only good in certain cases. For example, if one has done it before the time for the prohibition of chametz has come in. If the time has already entered when chametz is prohibited, one is no longer allowed to do this nullification. Second of all, our sages were uncertain or doubtful as to whether or not it would be with a full heart. If one does not really mean this declaration, then the entire renunciation is invalid. And thirdly, our sages were worried that even if one renounces possession of the chametz and is therefore not owning it, it is nevertheless still before their eyes, and the person might come to eat it, forgetting that it is Pesach, since it is something which is allowed the entire year. People are allowed to eat chametz. A person might momentarily forget, and God forbid, come to eat chametz. And therefore, there is a second way, by literally destroying the chametz, taking the chametz and burning it, or as the Mishnah discusses, whether one can crumble it into small pieces and dump it in the ocean, and thereby destroy it. Today we actually do all of these things. The night before Pesach, we search for any chametz and nullify any chametz which we might have missed and not found, and anything which we have found, we destroy. At least we leave something over for the next morning to eat for breakfast, and then destroy any remnants of that, and once again nullify the chametz. Therefore, we have taken it physically out of our possession, and also nullified it in our hearts so that it does not belong to us. any chametz which one wishes to hold, one can legally transfer possession of it to a non-Jew and sell it to the non-Jew for the duration of Pesach. This is known as mechiras chametz, selling of the chametz, and this also takes it out of one's possession to avoid violation of Bal Yiroi Bal Yimotzei, as we will discuss in tomorrow's portion. The details of this law are discussed at the beginning of Tractate Psachim, as are the other two commandments of today's portion, throughout Psachim. Prohibition 197 is a prohibition not to eat chametz. Yesterday we discussed the prohibition of eating chametz on the day before Pesach. This prohibition is on Pesach itself, and it differs from yesterday's commandment in that the punishment is much more severe. Whereas in yesterday's commandment, the prohibition of eating chametz on the day before Pesach, the punishment was lashes. Whereas for this commandment, the punishment is kares, should one intentionally eat chametz. Kares, or excision, a cutting off of the soul. Should one eat chametz unintentionally, then one must bring a chatos, a sin offering. There is an additional prohibition against eating chametz, prohibition 198, which differs from this commandment which we have just mentioned, in that prohibition 197 involves actual bread, the actual chametz itself. Whereas this prohibition, as stated in the Torah, called machmetzes, loisei chelu, implies that anything, even should it only have a mixture of chametz in it, is also prohibited. As the Rambam quotes the Mechilta, that states that this pasuk comes to include kutach habavli. This was a type of dish, sort of a sour yogurt, which had pieces of bread and salt put into it, and then one would dip one's bread in it. So therefore it had only a mixture of bread in it, in that it was mostly soured milk. Another example is sheikhar amodai, a type of beer which was made in modai, in which barley was soaked. And so too chemetz hademi, a type of vinegar, which had also barley soaked in it for flavor. In all of these substances, there was only a mixture of the barley or the wheat in this particular substance, and therefore it would not be included in the regular prohibition against eating bread, since this is only a mixture of the bread. The Mechilta then asks that you might think that yiyu chayavin alein, that one would be culpable, one would be punishable by kares for ingesting one of these substances, since it says kol machmetzes, including even a mixture. The Mechilta answers no. We have a separate verse for a prohibition of chametz, and only for chametz itself, meaning the actual chametz, the bread or so on, only for that does one incur the penalty of kares, but not for a mixture. So if so, the Mechilta concludes, why then do we need the verse machmetzes? After all, if you know that it is prohibited to eat chametz, and in addition you will only incur kares for eating the chametz itself, not a mixture, then a mixture also has chametz in it, naturally would know you are not allowed to eat it. Why then do we need a separate verse that even a mixture of chametz is prohibited? And one cannot eat chametz. Obviously one cannot eat something which has chametz mixed into it. And the Mechilta answers no. This is to tell you that it is a biblical prohibition even to eat a mixture of chametz. The Rambam is evidently quoting this discussion in the Mechilta to prove to us that this counts as a separate biblical prohibition, the eating a mixture of chametz. And other commentaries, in fact, disagree with the Rambam on this point and say that it does not count as a separate prohibition. The Rambam then quotes the Talmudic tractate Psachim, which discusses in which case one would incur lashes for this violation. Incidentally, the Rambam is evidently again trying to prove that since one incurs lashes, this counts as a separate biblical prohibition. When does one get malchus or lashes? When the food being consumed has a kazayis bechdei achilas pras. Let us define terms. A pras, the Rambam defines, as an amount of food of 3 beim, approximately 6 ounces. A kazayis is approximately an ounce. Should the mixture contain a kazayis, approximately an ounce, if one would eat a pras, about 3 beim, 6 ounces, then there would be considered a sufficient mixture, a sufficient amount of chametz in this total mixture, that if one eats from this mixture, one would incur lashes. Should there be a smaller percentage of chametz in this mixture, although it is certainly prohibited to consume it, nevertheless one would not incur lashes for its consumption. We nevertheless see that there is a case in which one can be punished by lashes. So therefore we see that it is a biblical prohibition separate from the general prohibition of chametz, where a violation is punishable by kares. The law is that chametz, unlike other prohibited substances, is prohibited even in the tiniest amount. As in other substances, such as a mixture of meat, which has fallen into some milk, in general, should it have fallen unintentionally, and there are 60 times more of the milk than the meat, we consider the meat, which has fallen in, to be nullified, batel, since it cannot be tasted. However, chametz is such a strict prohibition that even the slightest amount of chametz, which falls into a mixture, invalidates and makes prohibited the entire mixture. Similar to Aveda Zara, something involving idol worship, which makes a mixture prohibited even in the slightest amount. In fact, these two ideas of chametz and idol worship are connected. Matzah, which is the opposite of chametz, is described as strengthening the faith of a Jew. It is referred to in Kabbalah as Mechud de Memnusa, the bread of faith, in that it strengthens a Jew's faith in God, whereas chametz represents the opposite. And when it comes to an idea of chametz, something which contradicts faith in Hashem, this is something prohibited even in the slightest amount. The story is told of Rabbi Yenison Eibschutz, who once had a festive meal at his house, and he invited many distinguished guests. All of them, as the custom is, delivered a scholarly talk on a Torah subject. All of the distinguished rabbis gave their own particular drasha, their own chidusha teira. It came to the end, everybody had already spoken, and the Rabbi Yenison Eibschutz called on the shamish. There was a shamish, a person who was not such a distinguished person, and he asked him to say something. He was, of course, totally unprepared, not being a scholar like everyone else, and he stammered and said he had nothing to say. But when pressed, he was forced to say something. So he said the verse, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And then he sat down. The Rabbi Yenison Eibschutz was amused by this answer and pleased with it, and he quoted the Talmudic statement that everyone else had said something that there's a question on. You could always find a way and disagree with it, but you said something in which there can be no disagreement whatsoever, speaking about the oneness of God. There was a certain person sitting there, a sheikhet, a kosher slaughterer, who knew the rest of this Gemara. He knew that the passage that Rabbi Yenison had quoted, and he finished the end of it. Because the Gemara says immediately after this quote that you said something which there is no question upon, the Gemara then says, but even on this one there's a question. And the Sheikh mentioned that on this there's also a pircha, there's also a question. However, Rabbi Yenison was not amused. Matter of fact, he was very upset and said that it is prohibited to eat from this sheikhet's slaughtering. His shechita is prohibited. And he explained the reason that when it comes to a question of emunah, even a very slight lack of emunah is a very severe lack in the person. The sheikh had meant it only as a joke. Of course he was not denying the existence of Hashem Echad, and not denying the oneness of God. However, the fact that he could even say such a thing even as a joke, and even though it was used in another context, as a quote in the Talmud, of course in that situation it was not speaking about the oneness of God, it was speaking about a legal disagreement. But since the sheikh, when it comes to something involving idolatry and denial of the oneness of Hashem, then this is something which is treated in the most severe, strict way. And so too chametz, which is representative of idolatry and a lack of emunah, a lack of faith in God, is prohibited even in the slightest amount, asur b'mashahu, indicating perhaps for us that there is no room for ambiguity, only emunah pshuta, a pure devotion and a pure faith in God. The doubt in the oneness of God and in our faith in Him is prohibited even in the slightest amount, asur b'mashahu, even as the chametz is. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.